continue to have a good week. If you will, let's join in and sing Cornerstone.
Amen. It is good to be here tonight as we come to worship and to praise. We didn't do prayer requests this morning, but I know Tim Bowman had some surgery this week. We need to remember him in prayer. Also tonight, remember the Gillette family in prayer, the passing of Carolyn, the Day family. Tony Day passed away this week. Need to remember him in prayer, that family in prayer. Help me out, Miss Karen. I know there was somebody else we were. Billy Wright passed away. We want to remember the family of Billy Wright.
Chad.
Huh?
Chad's in the hospital.
Chad Owens is in the hospital. We want to remember Chad. Gary Hawker is in the hospital in room 630. We want to remember Gary tonight in prayer. Anyone else tonight? Maybe if you want to put it, if you're live streaming, you can send a message that way. Anyone else? Anybody got a word of praise? Surely, you know, we had a great 4th of July weekend and celebrate our country's 244th birthday. Does anybody have a word of praise tonight? Now, Tammy, I hate to pick on you, but your daddy always said.
I know. No, we've just had a really great weekend with family and extended family and just peaceful and restful and relaxing. So that's just a lot to be thankful for.
Amen. Amen. God, we didn't have no fireworks this year in Livermore officially, but they were everywhere last night. I've already heard them starting up again tonight while we were walking over. So, been a big time of celebration. You know, the other day I thought, I'll put this on Facebook and see how many people would have joined me yesterday just to march down the street of Livermore carrying American flags. You know, we didn't have a parade yesterday or any of those things we usually do. We could have social distanced and had a parade. I told Karen, but I might have been the only one who showed up, but that'd have been all right too. And I can't think of any announcements that need to be made, except maybe if you want to join us on McLean County Praying, and join McLean County Praying. I imagine Brother Sam's or Brother Ken Bergen will have tonight. I had last Sunday night. Then I'm doing again Tuesday night at for McLean County Praying. So anybody wants to join us on the live stream can do that as we pray for our county, pray for those in our neighborhood, pray for the sick. You know, they asked the question when this was over, when the COVID was over, do we want to continue? And the resounding answer was yes. You know, we're going to continue McLean County Praying together as long as preachers or people will volunteer to pray and come on and do that. We're going to continue to do that nightly and as long as to the Lord tarries, you know. And so we're looking forward to and hope you join us. I think it's a great ministry of the Ministerial Association of our county. Any other announcements? If not, Chunky, could you lead us in a word of prayer, please, tonight?
Father, we just thank you that we're able to live in a country where we have a lot of freedom. Father, we just pray that you would help us as we would celebrate not only the freedom that we have in our country as citizens of the United States, but help us to celebrate the freedom that we have in you because we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I pray tonight that this small group here will be able to uplift our church, uplift our community, our state and our nation, to be able to seek your leadership and your guidance, and how that you want us to conduct our individual lives. How is it you want us to run a nation and a state? And Father, I pray that, most of all, that we could resolve in our hearts and minds to love our neighbor.
Yes.
This is a challenge with this morning. To love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And I just pray that we could have peace and harmony, that we could experience a revival as we would turn our hearts and lives over to you and get forgiveness. give us a word tonight that would cause us and stir us to be determined to walk in a closer walk with you. Help us that we can be that servant that can be found faithful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. We're going to look tonight at I asked this question, I guess 10 weeks ago on a Sunday morning. What is worship? And I like the Greek word that is used in John chapter 4. It occurs, the verb and noun form occurs 10 times in John chapter 4. It's proskuneo. It means to kiss and fawn like a dog. It means, when it's applied to worshipers in the New Testament, it means to prostrate oneself before another, to do homage, to reverence, or to adore. When we come to worship, isn't that what it is? We've come to reverence, we've come to do homage, we've come to adore. Sometimes we get so caught up in all of our own things in our minds, we forget what worship is. Sometimes we think it because we don't sing a song a certain way, or because and we get involved, or we think because we have this instrument or don't have that instrument, and things like that, or maybe different things will cause people to lose focus on why we've come to the house of the Lord. And it's to worship. It's to worship and to do homage before God, to adore Him. The first thing we can think about worship tonight is the prostration of the body. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 7 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 11. And it says, "And all the angels stood about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell down before the throne on their faces and worshiped God." It's the worship. I know some of us don't feel comfortable doing it, or some of us can't even bend a knee hardly anymore because of arthritis and those things. But he says here that when we hear it in heaven, it's the prostration, the position of the body. Sometimes we might not be able to physically be prostrate or face down on our face before God, but we can fix our hearts into a prostrate position where we fall down and we adore Him, and we fall down and we worship Him. It's giving ourselves and showing total homage to God, total submission to God, total reverence and adoration to God. It says there that the angels stood around and all the angels stood around the throne and about the elders, the 24 elders, and fell before the throne on their faces. We come tonight before God, and we come to worship God. I said a while ago, sometimes we forget the reason we do come to church is to worship. I remember, I've seen this before, some people will say that they can worship God while they're fishing. I look around, Bruce, and I start to worship, but then the bobber goes under. Or I'll start watching the bobber rather than watching what's going on. I like catching fish. People say, well, you can worship God from a deer stand. Matter of fact, there's even a book, Worshiping God from a Deer Stand, and a devotion entitled that, a devotional, daily devotion that you can carry to your deer stand with you. Do you ever carry that one, Bruce? And it's getting to know God from the deer stand. But if I'm hunting in the middle of the woods, every time I hear a limb snap, I think it's a deer. And my mind just cannot focus. I told Karen one time, I took my New Testament with me, and I got my New Testament out. I was going to read it early on the morning on the deer stand, and all of a sudden I heard a dog bark, and I looked up, and here come a whole herd of deer, and I just had to put the New Testament back. You know, things will interrupt you. You need that quiet place at home where you can study the Word of God. You need that quiet closet place that you can go and worship. But there's also going to be that communal worship like we saw there in Revelation, where people need that. We need to have that in our lives and come for the purpose and the right reason. It's an admission of claim. We are proclaiming the one that we worship, what we worship, who we worship, as being the God of our lives. You'll remember Jesus had been in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He had been on a fast, and the Satan came to him and saith unto him, all these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. The devil wanted Jesus to acclaim him as equal. He wanted Jesus to acclaim him as one worthy to worship. He said, he took him up on the mountaintop and showed him all the world. And he said, I will give you all this. Well, he couldn't give it to Jesus. It was already Jesus's. But he thought he had Jesus in a weakened state, and that if Jesus would fall down and worship him, it would raise him up to the level of God the Father. He was trying, and so when we fall down, when we worship, and who we worship, we're making the claim that they are the one over us. We're making that claim that they're the ones that rule over us. We're making the claim that they're the God of our lives. And so we have to learn that worship is making a claim. When we come to worship, what we're doing is we're claiming the authority of God. We're scripting to God the acclaim that he needs or has. You know, a lot of people worship a lot of things other than God. We read in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, they would worship God in motion. But they would go up on the mounts of Baal into the gardens or into the groves and worship. We saw this morning in Jeremiah 32, verse 35, that they were worshiping Moloch, the god where they would sacrifice their own children. And so God, they had other gods. We cannot have other gods that are ahead of God. We can't have other gods in our lives. No wonder for 400 years God was silent. The children of Israel went through worship for 400 years. You know this? They went through worship for 400 years. And you never hear a word from God. And then all of a sudden in John, the Gospel of John, we read about the prophet John coming and declaring that Jesus and starting to preach in the wilderness, and then even appearing before Herod and calling Herod an adulterer and realizing that John was a prophet of God. You know, during those 400 years, maybe the reason God was silent was because they weren't acclaiming God. They were just going through the motions. Worship has got to be more than emotion. It's got to be that heartfelt, that loving affection, that loving claim that we make of God. It's a submission of our wills. I love the story in Matthew chapter 15. And here's in verse 25 says this. Then came she and worshipped him, and said, Lord, help me. A Canaanite woman, a Gentile woman, came to Jesus. Her daughter was deathly sick, and she asked for Jesus to heal her daughter. And you remember the dialogue that her and Jesus had? He said, you know, there's not meat for the, you know, is it meat for me to give, take away from my children or the children of Israel and give to you? And then the woman says, well, even the dogs get the scraps off the table. And Jesus spoke, and in that very moment the Bible says her daughter was healed. And then Jesus made a statement to her, no greater faith have I found in all of Israel than what this woman had. And so she came and worshiped. A lot of times we miss the point that worship is the submission of our will. It is submitting to the will of God and realizing we're not the ones in charge. It's not about us. It is about Jesus. It's the submission of our will to God. It's a submission. I'm not in charge. God is in charge. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's about what God wants. Matthew 15, 25, the woman came before Jesus, a Canaanite woman, and submitted herself and worshiped Christ. That's what the word there means. In Matthew 25, then she came and worshiped. The word that's translated worship there really means she came in the Greek. It means that she submitted herself. She bowed down. She submitted herself to the authority of Jesus Christ. Isn't that what we do when we get saved? We are submitting ourselves. We're saying that I'm not in charge anymore. I have messed up all my life. But God, I am turning the wheel in my life over to you. We submit ourselves. We come in submission to the Lord. That's what worship does. Worship is also, we've already said this, adoration of heart. Matthew 28, verse 9. And they went and to tell his disciples. You remember this is a resurrection story, Easter Sunday morning. Behold, Jesus met them saying, "All hail." And they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Man, they were so glad. You remember Easter Sunday morning? Friday afternoon, Jesus had been crucified on the cross. They had gone to the garden that morning where he was buried, to the tomb where he was buried. And the stone had been rolled away, and they couldn't find the body. They assumed that the body had been stolen, and they didn't know what to think. And all of a sudden, they're on their way back to the elder disciples. Something was going on, and Jesus appears to these women. And as he appears to these women, they fell down. They were so glad. They were so glad to see Jesus. What do we say the Greek word definition was for the Greek word that was used proskuneos? It literally means to kiss and fawn like a dog. Bruce, you got dogs. Aren't they glad to see you when you get home? No, they're glad to see you though, right, Tammy? Yeah. Beth and Logan have a dog. I know he's just tickled to death every time somebody comes to see him, you know? And he'll just lick you all over. He can't help himself, right, Logan? No, Logan said he can't help himself. That dog's just all over you when you come in. And he's just glad to see you. Man, when we get in the presence of God, we're just so glad we can't help it. When they realized it was Jesus who was speaking to them, they couldn't help it. They fell at his feet and held his feet and worshiped him. That's what worship is about. That's what worship is about. The adoration of our hearts. You know, our heart's desire is to be in the presence of the Lord. Our heart's desire is to see Jesus. You know, recently people said, "Aren't you afraid you're going to die?" Everybody's living in fear. You know? Fear of this, and fear of that thing, and fear of everything else. And I said, "No, I'm not worried about it." Betty Hicks may be worried watching tonight. Somebody asked Betty Hicks the other day, aren't you afraid to die? She said, "No, look at the alternative. You get to go to heaven and be with Jesus." Paul even said, to stay here is what? Is gain for you all, but to go to heaven, man. You know, we have no reason to fear dying. If you're a Christian, man, and it means you get to see Jesus personally sooner. Oh, we can't wait to see Jesus. One of these days he's going to part the eastern sky. And Paul says that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. I'm going to jump into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But you know, the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and those of us are going to be caught up in the air. What a day that's going to be. It's a day of adoration. Our heart adores. We adore the Lord Jesus Christ. We come with hearts of adoration. And we come with hearts of praise. Go over to Revelation again. Chapter 19 and verse 4. They're falling down again. But look what it says. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, "Amen. Amen." Amen if you're Baptist, amen if you're Methodist, okay? They said, "Amen." And hallelujah. Amen, or amen, and hallelujah. Revelation 19:4. There's an inscription. You know, our worship needs to have praise. There needs to be praise in our worship. When we're truly worshiping God, there's got to be that praise. I give everybody an opportunity to have a time of praise. You've got a reason to praise the Lord. Man, part of our worship is praising God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. We used to sing the doxology. You know? Everything we have comes from who? From God. He takes care of our every need. He meets our every need. He does everything for us. And we praise Him for that. We praise the Lord. I said this morning, I think America is the greatest country in the world. I may not say it that way, but it is. And I praise the Lord for the opportunity to live in the greatest country in the world. We could have been born in some other country, somewhere else, and not have all the privileges and everything that we have. And just think about it, we ought to be praising God for what we have. We ought to be praising God for what we don't have. Think about that for a minute. We ought to be praising God in all things and all times. We ascribe praise to the Lord. We praise Him. I love that little song the children used to sing. Praise Him, all you little children. Because God is what? Good. Man, we ought to praise the Lord. Part of worship is praise. Praising Him. Giving Him praise. Now, I know I mentioned this when I preached on worship before, but it's a consecration of gifts. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11. And when they came into the house, talking about the wise men, they saw the young child and Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Part of our worship is giving unto the Lord. You know, I know the Old Testament mandate, the biblical mandate, a lot of people say, is 10%. Of your a 10% offering, but you know there was also first fruits offering, and there was all kinds of offerings that we give. We give not, and Jesus gave us the ultimate example of the widow woman who put her two mites in. She gave what? All that she had. The New Testament actually teaches sacrificial giving. We give 10% may not hurt, but 25 may. Somebody said, preacher, you call for 20. You give because God has blessed you. You give. I remember back a couple months ago when we were talking about wanting to start church back. And churches, there were people on Facebook talking about, let's go back to church. And one lady wrote on there, and I knew who she was, and I knew she wasn't a churchgoer. She said, the only reason them preachers want you to go back is to get your money. No, it is not. But I'm going to tell you something. If you love the Lord, you're going to give out of the abundance that He has provided for you, even as the widow woman did, gave of all that she had. It's a consecration of our gifts. It's a bringing our gifts, worship. I kind of miss the old way we used to take up the offering in the passing of the plate. And it did add to the worship. But you know, we can still pray and worship even as we put in a little box at the door, can't we? Or mail it in, or put it in the online giving. And we need to think about it. Our gifts. And just not our financial gifts. Think about other gifts God's given us. We can consecrate them. Some of you are carpenters. Some of you are singers. Some of you are electricians. Oh, there may be a lawyer or two around somewhere. That, you know, God's given us all kinds of gifts that we can use on His behalf. Right? We need to give unto the Lord. Think about this tonight. It's the intercession of reverence. The intercession of reverence. In the Gospel of John, Matthew 20:20. It says, there came unto him the mother of Zebedee's children. Now, I never realized this until I was watching Dr. Ed Young last week. She's in the garden. She's at the tomb, too. Mary Simone. That is the wife of Zebedee. That is the mother of James and John, the sons of thunder. Zebedee means thunder. I bet you they were loud boys. Probably like Doug Brown and his brothers, the boy guy I went to seminary with. They were great big boys. One of them got drafted by the Oakland Raiders to play, and they would get in wrestling matches in the house. And one time they went all the way down the stairs and went through a wall. And her mama said, oh, she said, I wish I had some daughters. You know? Her sons were, but here we go. In the Bible, the sons of thunder, James and John, their mama came and made a request. Do you remember the request? Let's see what, let's read here. And she came and worshiped. She came and made intercession. That's part of worship, is making intercession. Now, her intercession wasn't well received by the rest of the disciples. And Jesus even said, it's not for me to do that. That's for the Father. She said, Master, when you come into your kingdom, can one of my sons sit on the right and one sit on the left? She was asking them to be number two and number three in the kingdom of God. And she was interceding on their behalf. But it shows us that the word worship is used here, proskenos. She came and worshiped. And she said, I want to intercede for my boys. Can one sit down? I don't think her request was a proper request, but I'm going to tell you something. Worship includes intercession for others. When we come and make prayer requests, when we come and we pray for others, that's part of our worship, making intercession on other people's behalf. It's the reason we have prayer time and our worship services for the sick and for those that are hurting, that maybe those that have other needs. We make it, that's part of worship, is making intercession. Now, some people say that the idea of worship is just to come and quietly fold your hands, and you can worship God that way and sit quiet and don't say a word. If that's how you choose to worship. But I'm going to tell you something. I like it quiet and I like it loud. But we need to have praise. We need to have intercession. We need to have giving. We need to have all these adoration. We need to have all these things in our worship. To have a complete worship. Isn't that what we want, is complete worship and whole worship? She came and presented. The word presented is rendered offer sometimes. 19 times in Hebrews, the word that is presented or came and made an offer appears 19 times in the book of Hebrews. Look what Hebrews 8:3 says tonight. We'll close with this. Hebrews 8:3. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. Wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Now, every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. But he also had to offer gifts and sacrifices for his own sins. But the one person, the high priest, the great high priest that we have, Jesus Christ, offered himself up as a sacrifice. Jesus was perfect in every way, did not have to have a sin offering or anything else given on his behalf. Jesus offered himself as the sin offering for us. You see, the word presented, we come before God to present our needs. We come before Him to make intercession. We come before Him to offer our gifts. We come before God tonight to offer ourselves as we submit our will. We come to offer and make the claim of His glory and of His honor. We come with hearts of adoration, present our hearts to Him. We ascribe our prayer to Him, our praise to Him, and we even give our all of our body. We said if we fall prostrate before Him. We present offering. We present worship. Worship is a presentation. It's an offering. We forget that sometimes, don't we? We come into the house of God And we got to have it the way we want it. I said this earlier. We come in and we think we got to have, it's got to be our way or no way, the way I like it, or no, it's about how God wants it. And it's about our attitude and about our hearts. Sometimes people come into church, and I don't know if it's true or not. I've never been this way. But they look to see what everybody else has got on. I've had people say, well, I can't come to church because I don't dress. And I don't care. If you all you guys have what, ragged old pair of blue jeans and a t-shirt, and my wife fussing tonight about my t-shirt, okay? She said, don't, you shouldn't wear that. The collar's all messed up. And it's all, I don't care. All I want to do is come and worship. All I want to do is offer what I have. Now, I think sometimes we ought to dress up a little bit. I see Tammy's all dressed up tonight. You know, got her best dress on. Right, Tammy?
I guess.
You guess. Yeah. Got your best boot on?
Yeah, I got my best boot on.
But you know, it's not about us. It's about what's in the heart. Remember what we said? The children of Israel went 400 years between the end of the Old Testament and when John began to preach in the wilderness, and they hadn't heard a word from God. They'd been worshiping, but their hearts had not been right. They'd been going through the motions, but their hearts had not belonged to God. Worship means we give our hearts, we give everything to God. We turn it over to Him. And then there was one crying in the wilderness, wasn't there? Repent and be baptized. And things begin to change. And we've been hearing from God for the last 2,000 years. Loud and clear. There's only one way to salvation. And that is through Jesus Christ. We've been hearing from God that we have to turn. Repent. We have to be saved. God sent His Holy Spirit to speak to us. He sent His Son Jesus. And it's loud and clear, the message. You see, sometimes the reason we don't get a message, somebody says, I don't get anything out of worship. Because they're not worshiping. They're just coming and sitting. Or just coming because it's a habit. I think it is a habit to come to church. It's a good habit to have. Remember what, in Hebrews when he said, forsake ye not the assembling of yourselves together, as some have become in habit of? Some people have gotten out of a habit. But let me tell you something. It's got to be more than just a habit. It's got to have that heart. It's got to have that joy. It's got to have that concern. And that willingness to listen and to praise Almighty God. Tonight as we close, maybe you're watching on live stream and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ. You've never given your life. I couldn't think of a better time than right now to submit yourself to Him. To begin to worship the one true King. To begin to follow Him and listen to Him in your life and let Him guide your life. He'll give you peace and joy. He'll give you understanding. All those things that you need. All those things that we need to have right now. He'll give you the forgiveness of your sins. The burden of guilt will leave your life. If you would just trust Him. Let's pray together. And then after this we'll close. Father God, tonight, right now we're giving this invitation. Father, there may be somebody that's watching tonight on live stream. Father, tonight that they truly have not worshiped. Not because they didn't come to church, but because they haven't given their hearts and lives to your Son Jesus. We pray tonight that those folks, if just one is listening to our voice tonight, listening to your Holy Spirit, not listening to my voice as a voice of a man, but allowing the Holy Spirit to convict their hearts, allowing the power of your Son Jesus to penetrate their lives, that, Father, tonight they would repent of their sins. That means they would turn around. They would allow you to transform and change them as they submit their lives to you. And, Father, tonight that as we pray and as we bow here together in this room, Father, they would just say, Father, I know I'm a sinner and I'm separated from you. But Father, tonight I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to, as I believe and I put my faith in your Son Jesus, Father, to make me whole again. Father, that I know tonight that your Son Jesus died for me on the cross. I know your Son Jesus rose from the dead, and I accept him by faith into my heart. I say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and I commit my life unto thee. And Father, tonight, as we give this invitation, and as we close this service, and we go out into this world this week, Father, help us to show others how to worship. Our lifestyles and our conversation would be that of worship and praise and testimony to how great a God and how great a Savior we have. And Father, tonight we close this service in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And all God's people said, amen. Bruce, why don't you give us a quick benediction while before we all get out of here tonight? Please, sir. Prayer.
Father, we just come to you now. We're just thankful and grateful for what this weekend represented, what we celebrate the last few days. Lord, we are one of the greatest countries there, but we know that if things don't change, we won't be there much longer. You've blessed us. We ask that you continue to bless this country. And Lord, we just ask that you continue to watch over us and keep us safe. Just guide us and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Marty, you doing all right? Good. Hallelujah. Pete, you have a good week. Landy, you have a good week. Don't work too hard in the garden.
Oh, you better pick wisely.
Sure.